Get used to this new microphone here. Do you believe? Do you really believe that there's a kingdom? A kingdom to come. A kingdom of God. Do you have faith? Do you have faith that the kingdom of God will come? Are you a man or woman of faith? What is faith? Faith is not Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic, Mormon, whatever. If someone asked you, what is your faith? What would you say? Let's look at Luke 18:8. Turn to Luke with me. 18 and verse 8. Christ was talking about the unjust judge here. But in verse 8 he says, I tell you that he, Christ or God, will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really, really find faith on earth? Faith. What is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Follow along with me here. What does the Bible say here about faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance here means confidence or assurance that it is. The confidence or assurance that one will receive what he hopes for. The word evidence means proof. That is the certainty or the validity that the yet unseen request is certain to come. Jesus said that if one had faith, even as a mustard seed, it would be possible to move mountains. Another important statement regarding faith is in Hebrews 11:6. It states, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The word diligently means to seek out carefully, to search, to inquire. Two things are emphasized here. One, to please God, one must believe he really exists. As Mr. Miller said, there's a lot of things that show us that there is a God. But do we really believe? Do we really believe it? And the second thing here is that he will reward those. He will reward those who carefully seek him. So we must believe in God's existence, and we must believe he will do what he has promised for us. Let's go on here in Hebrews 11, if you would. I'm sorry, 11:17. It says in 17 here, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. He knew by faith that God would raise him up if he had to or would. By faith, in the 20, it says, Isaac blessed Jacob by faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was blessing his two sons. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, requested for his bones to come out of Israel by faith. And by faith, Moses was hidden, knowing that God would protect him and the faith that he would survive. And by faith, Moses refused to call the Pharaoh's wife, be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he forsook Egypt, knowing that there was something better. By faith, Moses kept the Passover, knowing that it would work. He had faith. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, knowing that God would part it, would take care of him. However, I found this, and everybody's coming up some different ideas and things that go on. It says, how did Moses do it? Well, we know God done it, but how did Moses do it? Did he plan all this before? Or just say, hey God, how are we going to do this? Some call it the greatest mathematical problem in the world, this article says. Most of the people, of these people, were in the desert. But what was he going to do with them? They had to be fed. Now we know God fed them, but they had to be fed. He didn't know how that was going to happen before he left. And fed is what they did. According to the quartermaster general of the army, it was reported that Moses would have had 1,500 tons of food each day. Do you know to bring that much food each day? Two freight trains, each a mile long, would be required to do this. And besides, you must remember, they were out in the desert. So they would have to have firewood to use in cooking their food. And this would take 4,000 tons of wood and a few more freight trains, each a mile long. Did any of them think about that when they left? And just think, they were 40 years in transit. And oh yes, they would have no water there. If only they had enough water, it says, to drink and wash a few dishes, it would take 11 million gallons of water each day. And a freight train with tracks or train cars 1,800 miles from here to Chicago, just to bring in the water every day. And then another thing, they had to cross the Red Sea. And they had to do it at night. And they did. Now, if they were on a narrow path, say, double file, the line would be 800 miles long. That'd be to San Diego and back and back and halfway back, just to get across. It says it would have took them 35 days and 35 nights just to get through the Red Sea. So they had to spread out to space in the Red Sea. It said it had to be at least 3 miles wide so that they could walk 5 abreast minimum to get over in one night. But then there's another problem. You know, each time they camped, at the end of the day, a campground's two-thirds the size of Rhode Island was required, or a total of 750 square miles long. Think of it. These spaces, just for nightly camping. Do you suppose Moses figured all this out before he left? I think not. You see, Moses believed in God. And God took care of all of these things for him. And he will take care of all things for us. So when the going gets tough, through all this time, in our lives, in the world around us, and you think to yourself, how can I survive all of this, to go on to the kingdom of God? There is so much after us these days. But let us have courage. Think about it. You know, we have the same God Moses had. And we think our problems are really big. Just remember what your God can do and what he can do for you. So I thought that was kind of interesting, all the things they thought that they would need and they did need, and God provided it for them. I think Mike left his papers up here. No, Mr. Miller. The Bible tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. And one who comes to God with doubts about his existence, or doubts that he keeps his word, mistrusts the word of God. In effect, we could say that they view God perhaps as a liar. So faith is predicated upon belief in God and his word and truth. God's existence is the ultimate reality, and his word is irrevocable. His word is truth, it says. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To believe in God's word is to believe the truth. That is, to possess and believe in the knowledge of what God has revealed. We must believe in his recorded word, the Bible. The Apostle James wrote that to receive the answer to prayer, we must ask in faith that he is there. But let him ask, it says, in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers, he says, is like a wave of the sea, just driving the wind and tossing his tub or setting in his tub just here and there and wherever. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, just being tossed around. He's a double-minded man. A man unsuitable, God says, in all his ways. Because he's going to be wherever, whatever, I don't care, what do you want to do, you know. He's not going to get anywhere, and he's not following God. He doesn't have faith in God. You know, there are millions of people who do not profess Christianity, and they have no knowledge. No knowledge of what the truth is or what the Bible says. They have no biblical understanding. So as the present time, it is impossible for them to have faith. Look at the millions and billions in the world. Never heard, don't have faith. Said, oh, he can't do it. One cannot have faith in God unless one believes in the true God. And we understand that his word is revocable. Why? Because one that comes to God must believe that he is and that he will do as he's promised us. Of the millions of professing Christians, how many of them really, really believe that God's in God's word? That is true. They may profess in believing in God, but they do not really believe his word. Why? Because they have adopted man-made traditions and beliefs in places of things in the Bible They replace the teachings with Christmas, Easter, other things. They don't believe God's word. To have faith, we must exercise faith. Faith begins with the knowledge of the truth. When we begin to understand the truth, what it really is, we must put it into practice of what things that we do. This requires faith. It requires belief in God. That He is. That He exists. And His word is real. That is good. That is true. The knowledge of the truth does not come from man and his efforts. It is revealed by and from God. Let's turn to, let's read 1 Thessalonians 1:12. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 12. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 12. Let's read both of them. It's talking of us, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of man or men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also works in you who believe. There's many scriptures that tell us that we're called of God and called here today. But as we are called, so we come to the knowledge of truth, because God calls us to it. And God is the one responsible for calling us. But we are responsible for responding. Many seem to fail. For many are called, it says, but few are chosen. There are many obstacles that can get in the way of our calling. The faith of some can be made shipwrecked, it says. Jesus warned of deception in Matthew 24:24. He said, for there shall rise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Faith is linked to obedience. The Bible states, the just shall live by faith. That is, to be just, they must exercise what is lawful, right in the eyes of God. Galatians 3, if you turn there, please. Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3 and verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just, it says here, shall live by faith. And in 12, that the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So, If there's no obedience, there's no faith. Man must believe what God says and to put it into practice in his life. It's not just bouncing around that boat on the sea and, oh, we're going to get there. God's going to take us in. No, no. We have to practice it. Ancient Israel, we talked about before, was the first generation that left the land of Egypt. And they were not permitted to enter the promised land. Why? Why? It says that generation was disobedient because they had no faith in God. Maybe they was watching Moses too much. Instead of looking to God, seeing the pillars, everything that he done for them. And God said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. They doubted. They doubted God's words. They doubted his power. Disbelief is what led to their disobedience. What happened to ancient Israel is for our learning today. The whole Bible is for us to learn and to grow in faith and knowledge. This is why Paul goes on in Hebrews 1 and 2. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us as a kingdom of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, the Israelites. But the word preached to them did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith. They had no faith. They had no faith in them, what they heard. As they heard the scriptures. Can a Christian lose faith and begin to disobey God? Afraid so. Paul wrote, I commit thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before and on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and in good conscience, with some having put away, concerning faith having made shipwreck, it says in Timothy 1:18. Timothy was admonished here to hold the faith and a good conscience. We may have heard the expression, conscience is what hurts when everything else feels good. But a good conscience results from being blameless due to one's conduct or intentions. A bad conscience results from feeling of guilt. Guilt due to wrong or perceived wrong. The standards of right and wrong is God's law. A bad conscience results from acts of disobedience to God. What is the fundamental cause? It's a lack of faith. A faith in God and what he promised. A loss of faith leads to disobedience. Faith. Living faith. Living faith is one of works. What causes a lack of faith? I believe a lack of faith results from relying on human reasoning when a trial or difficulty arises because of the truth. When a decision is made that leads to an acts that are contrary to the express will of our God. A lack of faith leads to disobedience. No human being is perfect. We all make mistakes and sometimes sin. But there's a difference, however, between a mistake made through weakness and conduct of one's, than the conduct of one that's whole life and their whole lifestyle is contrary to God. True Christianity, Christians do not habitually practice sin. Apostle John wrote, "Whosoever is begotten of God does not commit habitual practice of sin." And after making a mistake, a sinning Christian repents and tries to learn from the experience and not to repeat that mistake. The Bible says, or admonishes us, says, that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in it. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or in people or in men. A lack of faith means a distrust, or could mean a distrust in God. Distrust. And a distrust of God leads to relying on human reasoning, which we've seen. Human reasoning is generally contrary to God's will. Though we walk in the flesh, as it says, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to pulling down, as he says, of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When one trusts in humans, human reasoning, especially our own, he manifests a lack of faith toward his God. The Lord says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and make his flesh his aim, and whose heart departed from the Lord." This warns us that trusting in man leads to disobedience. Instead, we are told to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, it says. The New Testament is clear. Paul told the Corinthians that their faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. The Spirit, the power of God. Now, there are a number of reasons people lose faith in God. Jesus gives us an example in Matthew 13 by the parables of the man who sowed the seed in the field. And he illustrated where the seed had fallen in verses 3 and 8, then went on to explain the meaning of the parables. What happened? We've heard the story. But some were swept aside by the influence of Satan. Some just lost their interest in God and consequently their faith in him, because they had no roots in themselves. Others could not endure tribulation and persecution. Still others were too involved with the world and what was going on and the things. And only a handful was able to exercise the faith necessary to continue to the end. In every example, those who turned from God did so because they allowed circumstances to overpower them. Except for that group that was swept aside by Satan and who never really got started, the others had been given the opportunity to know God and his way of life. There's a reason, Jesus said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Now, God allows us to choose. Choose which way we'll go, what we'll do. And this is what free moral agency is. Free moral agency, though, does not give us the right to determine right and wrong. It only gives us the right to choose. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. You know, even the disciples knew that they needed more faith. They asked Jesus to increase their faith. Let's look at Luke 17. Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 5. Read it with me. You wouldn't think they'd need faith. They was with Christ. They heard all the teachings. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What was his answer? It goes on. They knew they needed faith. So the Lord said in verse 6, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by your roots. There's some big mulberry trees. And be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which one of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to himself, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? And afterwards you will drink and eat. Does he thank that servant, it says in verse 9, because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not, Christ says. So likewise you, he says, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty. Our duty was to be here today. Have we done anything else? What does this really mean, what we just read? It means growing in faith, building character. It's a lifelong process. Christians must endure to the end. Faith is not something that can just be conjured up or wished for. Oh, I have faith that will stay up there. I have faith in God without really knowing that he is. It cannot be generated by power or willpower, as I said. It can't be bought. It's a gift. It's a gift from God, as all things are. Everything comes from the Father. Everything. Think about it. For by grace, he says, we are saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. As Christians grow in grace and knowledge, they are granted more and more faith. Why? To overcome the trials and the difficulties in life. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. Now, there's many hard times now for everyone. As I heard last year sometime, you know, there's really going to be hard times ahead. And right now, today, These are the good old days. I've heard it said, the Bible says, these are the good old days. Things are coming. And in James 1, 2, and 4, I believe, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. I got 2 hours yet. You know, Jesus had faith. Did you ever think about it, though, his faith? You know, we read he had faith. He had faith. Well, he should have faith. But when Jesus walked the earth in human flesh, he possessed faith. He said plainly, of myself, I can do nothing. Think about it. The miracles he performed. He didn't do it by any supernatural power of his own. He didn't have a car jack if your car broke down. He didn't have a thread and needle. No. He didn't do it by himself. Everything he did, every miracle he performed was done through faith. Giving us an example of the miracles and also of faith. Think about it. But how did he perform his miracles then? How did he accomplish his mighty works that we read about? The Father that dwelt in him explains Jesus himself. He does the work. He does it for us. He'll do our work by the Holy Spirit in us if we have faith. Faith. Faith that he can. Faith that he will do it. He will do whatever he wants or he wants you to do. So, what is a man or woman of faith then? He or she is a Christian who believes and trusts in God's word, and at the same time respects God's laws and obeys it to the best of his or her ability. With God's help, by means of the Holy Spirit, he does not allow humans reasoning. We don't allow human reasoning and disobedience to cause us to disagree or disregard God's words and what he says. We know disobedience to God represents a lack of faith. We also know that, like the Israelites of old, disobedient is a result of unbelief. And unbelievers could not enter into the promised land. And neither will the unbelievers enter into the kingdom of God. Let's turn to Revelation 21. Follow along here. Revelation 21. Verse 7 and 8. God says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, abominations, and the murderers and the whoremongers and the war and the sorcerers and adulterers and the liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I don't know if all of you know Eleanor Roosevelt or not, or remember her or heard about her. She once said, "He who loses money loses much. He who loses a friend, which we have, loses much more. But he who loses faith loses all." Brethren, don't lose the faith. The kingdom is coming. Let God do his work in you, for it can come.